In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jordan when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So, to a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring an oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took but 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for your extra expense you may have.'" This is the word of the Lord.
I hope that you would all agree that legacy is not a choice. You don't choose whether or not you want to leave a legacy. That's just going to happen. The choice that you and I make is what kind of legacy do we want to have. And so remembering this legacy is not just about what we leave behind. It's primarily about what we're doing right now, how we need to conduct the character and the legacy, the reputation will all be established now. It seems as I really tried to dive into this, character is that which relates primarily between us and God. God knows my character. The presence of Jesus Christ in my life establishes my character. What people see in me is they don't necessarily see my character, but they form a reputation of what they think of me. And of all the people in this room tonight, if you were to write down what you think about my legacy and my reputation, you would not all write the same thing. But we are building and establishing a legacy that will be left for those around us. I believe that I will leave a legacy. I believe Brenda will leave a separate legacy. And I believe that Brenda and I will leave a legacy as a couple, identified as Christians, endeavoring to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I live with those three. I think I can make it easier for Brenda and her legacy, or I can make it hard. And I have a legacy that I'm working on. And then she and I will have that which comes behind us. So perhaps Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1 is the best place for us to start tonight. And that says, "A good name is far more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold." And it seems to me, by the way a lot of people live their lives, they have no concern for their character reference, for the reputation, or for their own sense of worth. How sad when too late we realize that the day by day we are establishing our character references and building our legacy. What I said, thought, and did today is finished. I cannot recall that. I cannot redo that. What I said to you who came in before the service, I cannot recall any of that. It is there and it is already in place. A good name with God and people is more desirable than great riches. I think it's possible for us to have a good name with God, and if that's true, we will have a good name with people. But I do think it's possible to have a good name with people and not have a good name with God, because most people cannot read the motive of why I do. They can read the fruit, they can see the evidence of what I'm doing, but they do not know and cannot know the motive for why I do what I do. That's where my godly character and my reputation come together. I pray that God's character in me will indicate to the reputation that this person is a child of God. And he said that good name is more desirable than great riches. I wish I had known as much about that when Brenda and I got married when I was 18 years old, starting a family, 22, having a complete family, wife and two kids. I wish I'd have realized then that I probably was not going to become Elon Musk in the world, and I was probably not going to be anyone who was rich or famous, that I'd have begun from the very beginning to pour my life into building a legacy for my children, for my grandchildren, and for those who are around me. To be, also the second part says, to be esteemed is better than silver or gold. And the word to esteemed is to have respect, and admiration is better than silver or gold. You can have all of the wealth that you want to have, but if you do not have a good name and respect, there's something lacking. I want that to be a part of my life. The emphasis on both of these is on who you are in relationship to the Lord Jesus and people, and not on what you have acquired. Some of the most godly people I've known who impacted my life the most really had nothing. I remember we had a man at Worsley. He had nothing. When other people had chainsaws and they heated with wood, he had a 61 Chevrolet car and a Swede saw that he would, you know, the kind with the hump and the blade in the bottom, and he would take that and a flashlight after dark and go alongside the road ditch by the bushes, and he would find dead trees, and he'd get out there, and his little boy would hold the flashlight while he cut wood, hauled it in the trunk, one trunk load at a time. So I remember one time in the Sunday school class, people were talking about, you know, when are you rich? When is enough enough? And when are you rich? Ivan said, I believe anyone with a big wood pile is rich. So it's all kind of relative, isn't it? When is enough enough? And I don't want you to ever think for a moment I'm encouraging folks to be lazy, not to be diligent, not to be doing the best they can do. But somewhere, remember your priority is in the life that you're living, the life that you're giving. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13 and 14, he lists five things toward building and leaving a good legacy. Number one, it says, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, and do everything in love. So break them down one at a time. Be on your guard. I assure you today that you're going to get blindsided quite often. And if you're not watching and you're not on guard, the enemy will find where you and I are most vulnerable. And that is exactly where he'll attack. Not in your strongest point, but where you're the weakest, where you're the most vulnerable. So be on your guard 24/7. Stand firm in the faith. You ever have your faith sort of waver a little bit? You know, God, where are you? The psalmist even said one time, I looked to my right, I looked to my left, I looked ahead of me, I looked behind me, and no man cared for my soul. You're feeling pretty low when you feel like I'm living alone and there's not one person around me that cares. That's when you need to stand firm in your faith. It's not important that I have the encouragement and recommendation above my faith. But he does say, the third one is be courageous. And I think in my lifetime, I don't know of an era when you need to be more courageous as a child of God than right now. Because if you speak against anything other than Jesus Christ, you're okay. But if you begin to promote Jesus Christ, then you're going to be in trouble. So be courageous. Don't mind what people say. Be strong. It's not a world for Christian wimps right now. You know, I was kind of wimpy last week. You know, Brenda never did say it, but I could tell the way she looked at me like, you know, come on, don't be a wimp. You know, get over it, you know. Like a guy we read in our devotion, one of our devotions this morning, said he was on a big ship and he just got so sick because of the waves. And the captain came to him and he said, sir, just bear this in mind. We've never had anyone die on this ship because of seasickness. He said, oh, why did you have to say that? That's the only thing that's kept me alive. Just thinking I was going to die from it. And I think we need to just make a vow in our own heart. God, help me to be strong, because we're not strong enough without Him. And then He says that we need to do everything in love. I went to see, He's using the word agape there. You've heard me talk about it before. The major kinds of love referred to, the eros, is that kind that I felt for Brenda the first time I saw her at the door of the telephone office there at Hines Creek. And it was on a blind date. And, when she opened the door and came to the door, my first response was, not to say anything, but my first response in my mind was, wow. In fact, I even used that one time. Our convention was having a Christmas banquet, and the lady gave us all a bunch of questions. And one of them was, what was your first response when you saw the person that you're now married to? And so I put mine in there. I just put the one word, wow. And then the game was, when the night came, they would read the question and read the response. And the staff was to guess whose response was that. And so they read the question, read the response. And as soon as Joan read mine, everybody in the room said, that would be DK. And I didn't say anything much about it, and I don't want you doing anything about it, or I'll be in big trouble with Brenda. But anyway, this Thursday will be 60 years ago that I stood in the home with her in a widow's living room in Fairview, Alberta, and we pledged our love and loyalty to each other. It is amazing that God has sustained us this far in the world that we're in today. It's not because of my strength or my courage, but I believe that it was more than just eros. It was also the phileo love, the kind of where that love is your very best friend. They say that's the one you can call to come and help you unplug your sewer at 3 o'clock in the morning, and they'll still be your friend the next day. That's phileo. And then there's the starge. That's when you see these mothers and dads with these little new babies, and they're carrying them around, and they're oohing and aahing and showing everybody. I want to tell you, sometimes there has to be some of that affectionate love. Continues not only in our marriage, but in our love for the Lord, in our love for the people that we work with. It needs to be tender, affectionate. And then the agape is the word that's used here in the Greek, which means I love you, period. This love, more than just a word and more than just an emotion. It's in action. We're showing it. You know, Brenda used to have a little sticker on the refrigerator that said, what you're saying speaks so loud. You know, what you're doing speaks so loud, I cannot hear what you're saying. And I think that's what we're talking about here. We do everything with the love of the Lord, agape. And then, going on to the next part, in Titus chapter 2 and verse 7 and 8. In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. Now remember, we're establishing and building a legacy, not just for what we leave, but for who we are right now on January 14th, 2025. In everything, I'm endeavoring to set an example by doing what is good. You've heard me say many times, talk is cheap. What we really believe we do, and all else is just religious talk. And so we really do what we really believe. In your teaching, show integrity. When I'm teaching, in the word integrity, the best way to explain that is if you live in Saskatchewan and you come up to those intersections and there's a stop sign and you see very well for 3 miles both ways, you stop, and then you turn and go ahead. That's a little example of integrity. You know, the inclination would be roll up there and have a look and just keep on going. We have a friend who now is a disabled former pastor. He lived in Saskatchewan, and he was telling me about a hospital visit that he'd made. Some guy really got hurt bad in a wreck like that. And so they asked him, said, but couldn't you see that truck coming? And you didn't stop. He said, but I had the right of way. So it really doesn't matter. Just show the integrity and teach with seriousness. There's a time that I may tell jokes and I may tease you and I may have fun. But when we get down to the real things of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is no time for jokes. I believe that when we live our life and it comes to the end, we will have already destined one of two eternal destinations. One will be with heaven. One would be with Satan and his forces.